Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Hebrew Testament, Joshua 24. And most scholars agree that this book was written roughly 5,000 years ago. So it is really a voice coming to us from the past. It has to do with a leader who led his people into what they considered a promised land. It was the fulfillment of their hopes and dreams. But the moment when this nomad people arrived in the new land, they found that they were surrounded by big cities, by nations that they've never heard from before, and it wasn't long before their loyalties were divided and people began to wander away from the faith of their fathers. Must have been a tough time, because I do get the impression that Joshua, as also the spiritual leader of the people, was just a little bit fed up when he wrote these words. And you can see that there was no buts, ifs, or maybes. As we would say in our time, he gave it to them straight. Oh, may God give that you and I also receive the message straight from Scripture this morning. Joshua 24:15. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. And then the people answered, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For it is the Lord our God who brought us and our ancestors up from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery, and who did those great signs in our sight. He protected us along all the way that we went, and among all the peoples through whom we passed. Then we read from verse 23. He said, then put away the foreign gods that are among you, and incline your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel. The people said to Joshua, the Lord our God we will serve, and Him we will obey. Here ends our scripture reading. May it be that each and every one of us will receive something through God's Spirit this morning as we delve deeper and try to understand the message for us today. Friends, it is a custom in our church to follow our annual election of church officers with a service of installation. The elected leaders openly confirm their commitment to serve in God's kingdom. They affirm that they have made the choice freely as a result of their personal faith. And we are, as a church, in a festive mood today. We are delighted, and we trust that the choices that they make for our church will benefit our church, its efficiency as a church of Jesus Christ, and that their leadership will help us to discern God's will for our ministry, which is also our theme for today. To discern God's will. After all, our lives consist of a series of personal choices. So it was in the time of Joshua, and so it is in our time. And the personal choices that we make will determine the success or the failure of our lives. Come to think of it, how many choices did you have to make in order to be in this church today. We woke up this morning, and at least some in our midst are still getting up early every morning, hard day at work, and oh, then on a Sunday morning, a day like this, the temptation is so great to say, well, for this once, let it be. You chose to be here. You came with a specific question mark in your heart, and many of you came with the prayer that your question mark will change into an exclamation mark this day. For me, the past week was not all that easy. I had to conduct no less than 4 funerals, and that in 3 days. So needless to say, I came in very close contact with grieving people. And some may say, this must have been very tough. I thought so too. Early this morning, I said to my wife, you know, I can't tell you how much I'm looking forward today to go to church and to be able to bring a different message, a message of joy, an uplifting message. But you know what? I know there are several people in church today, and there were in the early service this morning, that I met at the funeral home when they were grieving for their loved ones. And even this week, in your name, I extended an invitation to many of them to say that we are waiting to go with you and to accompany you in times to come. And we may welcome some of them into our church soon. We pray that they would make the choice. But then all choices are not good. Have you ever made a choice that turned out to be a disaster? I certainly did. I did so less than a week ago when I had to drive in the dark to Orlando, and I had some directions with MapQuest. And suddenly I realized that I need them now, and I thought, well, let me get them. And I realized, but I left them in the trunk of my car with my little case. So I made the choice to get out, and I must have made the choice to close the door behind me. Because the next moment I was standing by the roadside in the dark, and cars were whizzing by, and all I had, one good choice, I had my cell phone in my pocket, and I was able to call my wife, and she had to race in the dark all the way to Orlando with the spare key. Well, after the first service, several people told me, you should have a hid-away key under your car. And I said, well, I made that choice this week, and it's already there. But we have made choices in our lives that we do regret, many of us. And we are just thankful, and we thank God if we get the opportunity to set them right again, to do something about it. I like to tell this story because it touched me so deeply, of the most far-reaching personal choice I ever heard of. It happened in 1947, and it is historically true. At that time, Gandhi, the beloved leader and father of India, went on a fast and stopped eating altogether. And the message spread throughout India that this long fast, this time, was going to cause Gandhi's death. And during that time, one of the leaders of the Hindus came to his bedside, and Gandhi, who was then near death, to plead with him to end his long fast in the interest of India. Gandhi, in a weak voice, then stated that he will only end his fast when the Hindus and the Muslims stop fighting. And then the Hindu leader could stand it no longer, could hide it no longer. So with hatred for the Muslims burning in his eyes, he said to Gandhi, "I have to continue fighting, and I will." And to justify the reason, even in the face of Gandhi's death, that he was saying, "I'm not going to give in," he told his story. He told that the Muslims took his little boy and crushed his head and murdered him. And then after a while, he confessed to Gandhi that he in turn captured a Muslim boy and that he killed him the very same way. And then he started sobbing, and he added sorrowfully, "I have been living in hell since that day." Gandhi reflected on this and then said softly, "My friend, I think I know of a way for you out of hell." And then with the Hindu hanging on his words, Gandhi tells him, "Why don't you go out and find a needy boy similar to your son that the Muslims killed, and take him into your house. But if he's a Muslim, remember one thing, raise him as a Muslim." At first, you'll think that's a bit crazy. Till you think about it some more. You have the very key to reconciliation there. Putting yourself in the shoes of the other one. So Gandhi actually placed before the anguished Hindu father the same kind of choice that Joshua placed before the people as they arrived in the promised land. A way out of hell is to choose life over death. One choice brings God's blessing, or your choice can bring sorrow. He said to them, "I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. And therefore, choose life, that you and your descendants might live." Maybe you and I have to revisit our own decision for God. And for time and time again, reconfirm, "You are my God. I follow you and I will follow you to the end of my days." And Joshua, in his teaching, was simple and straightforward. He said, "Love, follow, obey, and remain faithful to God." Well, times have changed. 5,000 years have gone by. But people still discover in our times that this simple formula contains directions to peace, to love, and to happiness. There is freedom to choose which side we shall be on, but no freedom to negotiate the results of the choice once it's made. We may repent a wrong choice. We can even alter the consequences by making a new, a better, and a right choice. And beyond that, we cannot go. If there are any bad choices in your and my life, oh, may God give that we will have the inner strength to change that and to replace every bad choice with a better one. Some time ago, a young, eager university graduate, and he liked to argue with the professor. The professor was teaching them something, and he said, "Yes, sir, but you must remember there are always two sides to every question." "Oh, yes, you're right," said the professor to the student. "But you know there's also two sides to flypaper. But it makes a difference to the fly which side he chooses." Joshua was pleading with the people. It's a matter of choice. And he gave them the guidance. The Hebrew people call it the five verbs of life from the Hebrew Testament. Loving the Lord, walking in His way, keeping God's commandments, obeying His voice, and holding on to God. Gandhi suggested to a Hindu filled with hate against the Muslims to raise a Muslim child in Muslim ways. He knew in such a choice, it was inevitable. Hate would be exchanged for love. And so through the ages, the message come to us today. Choose to love rather than hate. Choose to smile rather than frown. Choose to build rather than destroy. Choose to persevere rather than quit. Choose to praise rather than gossip. Choose to heal rather than wound. Choose to give rather than grasp. Choose to act rather than delay. Choose to forgive rather than curse. Choose to hope rather than despair. Brother and sister, in the midst of death, life persists. In the midst of untruth, truth persists. In the midst of darkness, light persists. We can make the choices that bring about life, truth, and light. Abraham Lincoln was once listening to a person who closed his remarks with this pious hope that the Lord is on our side. President Lincoln responded by commenting, "I am not at all concerned about that, for we know that the Lord is always on the side of the right. But it is my constant anxiety and prayer that I and this nation should choose to be on the Lord's side." Christianity begins with such a choice. To be on the Lord's side is far more an important issue than trying to get the Lord to be on our side. Choose then this day. It is always a matter of personal choice. One day, there came along that silent shore, while I my net was casting in the sea, a man who spoke as never before. I followed him. New life began in me. Mine was the boat, but his the voice. His the call, but mine, and only mine, the choice. Amen.